Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lotte Holst, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
So last week, we officially launched our first merch item, which is a t-shirt that we are so, so excited to share with all you Iconics. We have been working with our network Consequence for, it seems like, months now, like going back and forth on designs. And we finally are able to release the one that we are so excited about. So let me just tell you guys about it a little bit.
Yeah, what it looks like.
Yeah. So it's a light purple shirt, which is like very army, very us. And on the front of it, it says Iconic Army. And then in the background, it has the BTS symbol. And it says Standing BTS Podcast underneath Iconic Army. Very cute.
I love the Iconic Army.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Like totally all of you guys. Mm-hmm. And then on the sleeve, it's really, I think it's the left sleeve. There's our symbol, the Standing BTS logo, like the little army bomb that says Standing BTS.
Mm-hmm.
So cute. And I love this little additional detail. Behind the neck, there's three little purple hearts.
Three tiny little purple hearts. I love the color of the t-shirt because it's the softer velvet color. And I think it's more pastel-y.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several different purple options. And I'm really happy with the one we went with.
Yeah, we were like, this is the one. Yeah. But please go support us and purchase our very first shirt at shop.consequence.net. You know, you won't regret this purchase. We're size inclusive too. We have, you know, sizes available, and we would love for you guys to, you know, rep your favorite BTS podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love it so much.
Yeah.
We're super happy with it.
Yeah. We're really excited to share it with you. So on that note, welcome back, Iconics. And if you're new to the podcast, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though. So if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're ready to get heated over this Billboard article.
Oh, yes. Or fangirl over Megan Thee Stallion in the Butter remix.
Yes. Then you're in the right place.
Okay. So in today's episode, we are doing a spotisode, which is where we cover bits and pieces of missed BTS content. And there's been a lot happening lately.
So much.
We had to come back with another spotisode. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about the tour cancellation, the recent release of this Billboard article, Butter with Megan Thee Stallion, and then we're also going to be talking briefly about Yoongi's composition for Samsung's Over the Horizon.
Mm-hmm. But before we get into today's episode, we want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our Google Docs full of episode notes, important links, and pictures, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes. Any type of support is super appreciated.
Yes, thanks, Iconics.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
So it is September, and that means that we have a new charity of the month to share with you guys that we would like you to support along with us. It is World Alzheimer's Month. So an international month to raise awareness and research for Alzheimer's disease. So there is a charity called Alzheimer's Disease International, and that is the International Federation of Alzheimer and Dementia Associations around the world. And it's in official relations with the World Health Organization. So, you know, this is something that you can donate to this charity and know that you are impacting your local community, but also raising awareness on a global scale, which is very, very cool. Alzheimer's and dementia is super close to both mine and Bethany's hearts, as my grandpa had Alzheimer's and Bethany's grandma had dementia. So these are causes that we will always support. And I think so many people know someone who has been affected by Alzheimer's or dementia. And so the goal is to end them and to find a cure for them. ADI's vision is risk reduction, as well as timely diagnosis, care and inclusion, and also a cure. By empowering Alzheimer and dementia associations to advocate for dementia as a national priority and raising awareness to offer global care and support for people with dementia and their care partners, that's the work that they do. Globally, they strive to focus attention on dementia and maintain it as a global health priority. And they also campaign for better policy from governments and encourage investment and innovation in dementia research.
Wow. So, they're doing some really great work.
Yeah.
Especially raising awareness as a national priority and a global priority. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something that's affecting the whole world.
Yeah.
And there's such little research of really knowing how to treat these types of, you know, conditions, yeah. Alzheimer's and dementia.
Currently not really treatable, you mm-mm. know, like there are some medications that can help prolong, but I mean, ultimately there is no cure for mm-hmm. it. Definitely something that is worth supporting and bringing more awareness. So please join us this month in supporting World Alzheimer's Month and donating to Alzheimer's Disease International.
Yes. All right. Great. So let's go ahead and begin this episode by talking about the concert cancellation. This is just so sad to really start the episode with, but it was huge news, sadly disappointing news, but it kind of like there was nothing else that BTS or Big Hit really could do with the state of the world right now. So there was a Weverse announcement on August 20th of 2021. And so I'm just going to read the announcement that they sent out on Weverse.
Okay, break our hearts all over again.
I know. So they said, "Hello, this is Big Hit Music. We would like to provide some information regarding BTS Map of the Soul Tour. Our company has worked hard to resume preparations for the BTS Map of the Soul Tour, knowing that all fans have been waiting eagerly and long for the tour. However, due to changing circumstances beyond our control, it has become difficult to resume performances at the same scale and timeline as previously planned. Therefore, we must announce the cancellation of the BTS Map of the Soul Tour. The tour's concerts in Seoul were previously canceled in February of last year, followed by the postponement of the North American leg in March. Dates in Europe and Japan were postponed prior to the start of ticket sales in those regions. We regret that we must now inform you of the formal cancellation of the tour. For fans who have reserved tickets for the North American shows, you will receive an email from your original point of purchase regarding refunds. Once again, please allow us to offer our sincere apology to all fans who have waited for the Map of the Soul tour to resume. We are working to prepare a viable schedule and performance format that can meet your expectations, and we will provide updated notices as soon as possible. Thank you."
Hmm. Yes. When this first came out, this hit really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that you got the announcement and called me
mm-hmm.
and broke the news. And
I had to call you.
Yeah.
I think I had already called you twice that day. And I'm like, do I really call her again? But yes.
I mean, this is definitely a phone call conversation. I mean, just heartbreaking. This is something that like you and I have been looking forward to since we bought the tickets, mm-hmm. you know, even before being able to purchase. But just knowing that the biggest heartbreak, I think, for us initially was we had sound check. We had fucking sound check. And we felt
tickets.
Like that was just mm-hmm. a once in a lifetime, like incredibly lucky thing to be able to get those tickets.
We got so lucky with those tickets.
Yeah.
And so it's heartbreaking that the tour isn't happening.
Yeah.
But just knowing too that most of my 2020 motivation of like making it through was that concert, the potential of that concert happening. I'm like, you know what? When this is all done and we're all vaccinated and the world is fine again, I get to see BTS.
Yeah.
And I think they realized that too with the cancellation of this. So yeah. Of course, they wanted this concert to happen. They postponed it for so long. They did online concerts despite having this kind of hanging in the air. They held on to it for as long as possible. Yeah. And just with the way that the Delta variant is happening, the world pandemic is still going strong. Yeah. There's still so many people getting infected. There's so many people who are dying still from this. So it's just unsafe in having a concert. It's just such a health risk, a public health risk. And so we don't blame them. And this must be really hard for them, but it's
devastating.
Yeah. It's devastating for us too.
Yeah. I think like our first reactions were like thinking about our own loss with the tour cancellation. And then right after that, we were thinking about BTS's loss and the rest of ARMY's loss, because how hard it must have been for BTS to officially like cancel this tour. And, you know, they must have tried everything.
Yeah.
Like
they wanted it to happen.
Yeah. For sure. Us to get updates, like, you know, where it went to being postponed, you know, and
Ticketmaster even ended up changing, like, at the top of the page when you looked at your tickets, they changed it to saying you will hear your new date announcement soon.
Yeah.
Because a lot of concerts were starting up again. Music festivals were starting up again. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they still are going. Like, there's a lot of Western artists here that have tours for the latter half of this year and for next year already sold out, and they're touring, you know. And we had festivals this summer, like music festivals, outdoor festivals. So it's hard as like a North American ARMY seeing all of these Western artists like doing these things that can be super spreader events and can be dangerous to public health, and BTS being responsible and ultimately also being the ones that suffer from this responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a caveat between doing what is best and humane and like selfishly wanting to go to a BTS concert.
Of course. And they, I'm sure, selfishly want to be with ARMY. It's just something that it's been going on for so long. We haven't seen them live. They haven't been able to perform live. So it's just really disheartening, because there really was a light at the end of the tunnel. We really felt that new tour dates were going to be announced and that this concert was going to happen.
Yeah. I do want to say one thing that might be like a light at the end of the tunnel that we can still maybe hold on to, that I realized as you were reading through this. It has become difficult to resume performances at the same scale and timeline as previously planned. Same scale. Like, maybe they are planning to tour, but they can't have that many ticket sales, you know, like they can't have that full of a stadium. They would have to be able to have social distancing. And so obviously they wouldn't be able to have that many tickets. Mm-hmm. So maybe they are looking at doing a tour, but they just cannot honor that previous tour because they have essentially sold too many tickets for the space that they would have available in a COVID era tour.
Yeah, potentially.
So maybe. I'm going to, you know, maybe in the future.
Well, we'll see them again.
We will.
We will. Yeah. I'm still optimistic of that. Not all hope is lost.
No.
But it was devastating. My gosh. Like, we both pretty much mourned that
day. We definitely mourned. I think all of ARMY mourned. Even, you know, ARMY that didn't have tickets. Like, when BTS go on tour, there is so much content. There are fan cams everywhere. Like,
oh my gosh.
Everyone enjoys it. So, yeah.
Wow, that feels like a distant memory.
I know. we will see them again. They will tour again. We just have to keep getting vaccinated, wearing our masks.
They had no other option. Yeah. Get vaccinated.
Yeah.
For sure.
And we love BTS. We're sending love to BTS, and we know that you wanted to tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about this fucking Billboard article.
Oh my God.
So this was called Inside the Business of BTS and the Challenges Ahead. And I'm actually not going to say the name of the author because I don't want to like kind of dox them. I know they already got hate. They got death threats, which is awful, regardless of what they wrote. Mm-hmm. Like, ARMY sending death threats is like the opposite of who we are and what we should represent. So I'm not going to say their name. You can look it up easily. It's also in our Google Doc if you want to look at it. I'm not trying to not credit them for this article, but I just think it's best if we don't draw more attention to them. But there was huge backlash on social media about this article because many hot button topics were addressed. You know, the questions that were covered, the topics that were covered sparked thoughts for us initially between this seems inappropriate or even offensive to ask them to honestly, I'm surprised that they asked this, but quite frankly, I wanted to know the answer. So there's a lot. We have a lot to unpack with this article, and we are going to go all the way through it. We're going to discuss the main topics that were points of contention on social media, as well as parts that personally sparked our attention.
So just for the introduction of BTS in this article, he talks about how they were super dressed down, looking like college kids, that he didn't even really notice it was them because they look so casual, and bantering about their hangovers and their skin. Which kind of seemed like a backhanded compliment in a way, you know, just like normal folk, but also like, how do you not know that that's BTS?
Yeah. Like he said that they walked down the hallway with this whole entourage. How would you not know
exactly. that it's them? Yeah. But then they end up bringing up the looming military service, like right off the bat at the beginning of this article. And this is like BTS media coverage 101. You don't ask this question, you know? Like, why does this have to be something they ask them with every single interview? So the article brings up that BTS is HYBE's largest source of revenue of the company. And while they acknowledge the value of smaller acts and other business ventures, like the Ithaca, you know, the platform development, many were upset that the article correlated BTS going into the military with HYBE's impending fall.
Yeah. Like they wouldn't be able to support themselves financially and hold up without BTS's global prowess, you know, and all of the money that they profit off of BTS. So like the offense in this topic is twofold because they're asking about the military again, which is like, when they have something to say about it, they will update. You know, it's like, it's none of your business. And how many times has it been asked in an article? Like, that's issue number one.
I thought we were past it. It's actually been a while since they've been asked.
It's been quite some time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But number two is that they conflated HYBE's success to being only BTS. And we've said HYBE would not be HYBE without BTS. Like Big Hit was very tiny and BTS recorded their first album in a garage. That's how much money Big Hit had when they started. But like, they're not going to just crumble into nothing if BTS is not performing for 18 months, you know? Like they clearly have other business, like they're business savvy, you know? Yeah. It's a huge public company at this point. So to say that they're not going to be able to stand on their own is also offensive to HYBE and Big Hit.
Well, TXT and N-Hyphen are huge groups.
Yes.
Really well-respected groups that are really succeeding and doing well. And then also the establishment of Weverse too. I mean, Max, who is an artist over here in the States, and he's on Weverse, you know, so his fans are over there you know, getting on and supporting that app. But, you know, obviously there's much more to HYBE now than just BTS.
Yeah. So the next thing they talked about is the supposed chart manipulation that they talk about as if it is true fact. It's a whole conspiracy that BTS and Big Hit Music and ARMY and HYBE is a large company. We're all conspiring together. The millions of ARMY around the world, we're all conspiring. You know, like we're just laughing because it's so absurd.
Yeah.
So I just have to share this quote because this really fired me up. So this is a quote from Shin Cho, who is the head of K-pop and J-pop at the Warner Music Group. And they say that this idea to overly support a group is what they're, you know, conflating it as, this insane support stems from a particular part of fan culture in K-pop that pulls out all the stops to ensure whomever they're supporting will get mainstream attention, quoting by saying fans will do whatever they can to create the success story. create the success story.
Support BTS until 2017. I made sure that they came from a company that didn't have any sort of support that was
We were looking for an underdog. Nobody did. You know, BTS themselves are the underdog story, and they never expected any of this. And I think it's safe to say that by now there are no fans worrying about big hit music disbanding BTS for a lack of popularity. They are literally the most popular K-pop group of all time. But they are an underdog story.
Yeah, they are. Yes, of course we support and love them, and that's just a part of where they originated from. And so, yeah, it's great to see this huge success story. Like, who really doesn't love an underdog story? They have come so far in the music industry and have made such a global impact. So, yeah, it's not like our intentions of standing. Like, we're like, they're an underdog story, so I purposely want to support them because of that. So no, I love their music.
Yeah, they're saying that we are using loopholes and manipulating the charts in order to give them this success story, which is just, it's just not true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So another quote from the article, it says, "Through above board means, ARMY has long exploited loopholes in the music chart rules, including those of Billboard, to propel BTS singles performance. Billboard's rules, for example, allow people to buy a certain number of versions of songs or albums per week, and any sales per version exceeding that cap do not contribute to the artist's weekly sales total or chart placement. For a K-pop group like BTS, that typically releases multiple versions of particular singles, including both digital and physical, that can add up to multiple sales per consumer. On Twitter, where BTS has over 38 million followers, fans acting on behalf of ARMY will call out for assistance in purchasing certain singles on days and when they can have the most effect on chart performance." Ooh, that's a lot to unpack right there. But what really disappointed me about this article was how much there was on this like chart manipulation. Like, a good chunk of the article was about this. Mm-hmm. And this whole paragraph just showed me like, what is it about Billboard and the music industry so badly wanting to invalidate BTS's success? Like, they question everything. Anytime BTS is number one, anytime they've had multiple weeks in a row, or they're getting a certain amount of radio plays or digital sales, they're like, oh, but it's just because ARMY has all these loopholes and they're helping other ARMYs buy the digital copies and whatnot. And it's just like, you don't invalidate other artists ever. You know, like, there are so many other artists who are responsible for bundling and remixes,
doing the same exact finding
those
thing.
Finding those loopholes. Yeah. But do they question their success?
Yeah. No. And I think here's where the difference comes, is that, I mean, we're not going to say their name, but one of the people that we actually follow on Twitter, they were used in the article and their words were totally taken out of context, where it was about them saying, well, maybe we need to be a little bit more low key about, you know, how we're buying so many downloads and everything. Mm-hmm. But that person, like, we've been following them since like they've been really early on in their account. And the reason why they do what they do is not to manipulate the charts or to get more streams for BTS. It was always to be able to purchase these things for ARMYs who did not have the funds to purchase it. So people donate to them so that way they can buy it. So other ARMY who can't buy an album or a download or a CD or a cassette or whatever it is can do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So
that ARMYs who need or want those copies can afford them.
Because that's who ARMY is, mm-hmm. is giving and charitable. And we're not like conniving, trying to manipulate the charts in this way. We're trying to help out our community enjoy the thing that we love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy the music. Their music. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So it just really felt like a personal attack on ARMY. And going back to what you were saying, this article, where it gets laughable to me, where I was like screenshotting the crap out of it and sending it to you, was how this writer ended up quoting like fan Twitter accounts.
Like other stan accounts from other fandoms.
From and other fandoms.
Like that's not a reputable source.
It's not a reputable or reliable source. Like if you're trying to support your argument that Army's manipulating the charts, you need to find a better reputable source of that, because this is just like, okay, like some of these fans are like Olivia Rodrigo's fans, but it's on, it's just their fan accounts on Twitter.
Yeah.
And so in the article, he ends up saying Rodrigo's fans claimed that it wasn't a coincidence. At Scrappy Seal, noting the reversal, tweeted that BTS had zero general public support. A real smash is sustained by the GP support.
Bullshit. BTS is never supported by general public because they're not mainstream.
They're not
in the
mainstream.
United States.
Yeah, yeah. Another fan of both Rodrigo and Lipa's, at Lipa Nostalgia, described BTS as having fraudulent ways and its fans as involved in chart manipulation and mass buying. I'm just like, you're quoting a tweet from Lipa Nostalgia, like,
yeah,
and Scrappy Seal on Twitter. I just like, this is not hard supportive evidence to make your case here.
No.
Yeah.
And not to say that those aren't fine people.
Oh, no, like, no. Nothing
sure
against
they
those
are.
People.
Nothing against them. But, you know, like putting the general support thing in there is really counterintuitive, because we know that BTS has never been regularly played on the radio, mm-hmm, or been given general population public support, even with having number ones or with charting entire albums, which they do frequently. So, mm-hmm, you know, it's a stretch.
It is.
To say the least.
Yeah.
The author went on to say, these efforts have buoyed the group's singles as they have sailed to the top of the charts despite BTS's weaker streaming numbers and radio airplay than some of its pop contemporaries. Like we've been saying, they are not given the opportunity to have radio airplay.
They also don't have a leg up in the industry like all the other artists.
Exactly.
Just saying.
They
but no one wants to talk about that.
Right. No one wants to talk about how HYBE had to acquire Ithaca and have a merger for BTS to even have an option of having a seat at the table in Western music.
Exactly.
So radio airplay. I mean, ARMY always calls in, writes in to their local radio stations requesting BTS to be played. And, you know, there's some really amazing radio stations that are like with ARMY, but those are few and far between. Mm-hmm. And for the vast majority, we either get ignored or it plays like one time.
Yeah.
It's not like in the
we
regular
get ignored.
Loop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that, and that's not because BTS isn't good. It's not because their music isn't radio deserving. It's mm-hmm. because it's not in English and they're being racist and xenophobic by not playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is. It's not that they're not rightfully at number one, because we have to stream because we can't hear it on the fucking radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. We don't listen to them on the radio because they're not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? We can hit repeat on Spotify.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So. Oh, let's not even talk about Spotify and streams. God. No. Oh, so then he asked, the author asked BTS if ARMY's work amounts to chart manipulation. He straight up, he didn't even just like casually talk about it in his own musings. He asked BTS, you know, what do you think about ARMY manipulating the charts?
Yeah.
And RM said, okay, it's a fair question, but if there is a conversation inside Billboard about what being number one should represent, then it's up to them to change the rules and make streaming way more than ranking. Slamming us or our fans for getting to number one with physical sales and downloads, I don't know if that's right. It just feels like we're easy targets because we're a boy band, a K-pop act, and we have this high fan loyalty.
Yep.
Mic drop.
He couldn't say it any more perfectly, because it's true. Billboard, they're the ones who make the rules. They're the ones who have set up this entire system. If they're unsatisfied with what's happening with the chart, then they can change the rules. You know, but I agree. We're totally easy targets because they're a K-pop act, they're a boy band, and ARMY is extremely loyal.
Yeah. You mad? Like, yeah. Seriously, I could see Butter being number one for maybe 2 weeks in a row because of all of our sales and the downloads that we could do at the beginning. But like, I would say the large majority of us bought everything that we could early on.
Yeah.
So tell me how it still remained on the charts for like another 7 weeks before getting replaced by Permission to Dance and then coming back.
Yeah.
That's not just downloads, you know?
You know what this really makes me think of? And I just want to hear your opinion on this because I told Corey the other day, like when the Beatles were becoming a thing, like when they were becoming influenced to go ahead and make a band and learn, you know, guitar and piano, they were listening to rock and roll, which at the time was seen as super forbidden and awful. And there was a lot of people who were against it, especially like the music snobs.
Yeah.
Because you're going from classical to this rock and roll. And I just feel like BTS and the idea of a boy group and girl groups, even though the 90s, they had some of that, people are very resistant to it. And it's just because it's different. Mm-hmm. And so for them to be a Korean act, it's like, whoa, oh my gosh. Like, it's just over people's heads. Mm-hmm.
And I think to some extent, some of like the Western idea is like a been there, done that type of thing. Like, yeah, we went through the boy group phase.
Yeah, I
like,
agree with
we
that.
We had NSYNC. We had Backstreet Boys. We know what it is. Like,
but
we
they don't want to ruin that memory of it, you know? So I feel like that makes them even more off-putting to boy groups.
Well, this group, no way they could compare, you know? Yeah, it's very true. And the Beatles really had to fight for what they had too. And like they had fangirls. And I mean, for a long time, they were invalidated because it was fangirls.
It wasn't until years later, really, that they ended up getting that higher respect when they started getting into their older music, their later music.
Yeah.
But it just makes me think of that, you know, the resistance that the general public has to BTS.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with them being a boy band, a K-pop act, and a very loyal fan base. So yeah. RM really said it perfectly.
He did. Mm-hmm. And I feel like those three reasons are why this topic is such a point of contention.
This is why their success is always invalidated.
It's being invalidated. Yeah.
This is why their success could never be true or real.
Yeah. Because there's definitely Western artists who do the same thing, whose fandoms do the same thing. You don't think every single fandom is like, stream whatever when the new song comes out? Every single artist is promoting streaming their songs. Like Lizzo just put out Rumors and all I see is like 10 TikToks in a row talking about stream Rumors.
Like, really?
Yes. So it's...
just makes me mad that like...
But nobody's going to write an article about that.
We're so targeted.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So... Even further, instead of just asking BTS, Billboard also decided to ask the president of Big Hit Music, Shin Young Jae, about this chart manipulation. And he apparently answered with a chuckle, like literally laughed in his face, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And he just toned it down by saying with a chuckle. Mm-hmm. He said, "Wouldn't it be nice if we actually had the ability to mastermind such a thing? I get that there are market developments related to BTS that are head scratchers for some people, but I don't believe the US market is one that can be handily topped by downloads alone." Mm-hmm. True. Mm-hmm. "We think the song's impact was shown in many ways, and we are proud of that achievement." Yeah, it is apparently head scratching for all of these Western media companies and other people in music that just, they look at it, they could see all the evidence, but they want to deny it so much. They're like, no, it has to be this. It has to be that. They're cheating. They're doing, you know, whatever, whatever they can to figure out some reason as to why this can't be real. Yeah.
Always.
I just like that he laughed at him.
I love that he laughed at him because they could never really get us all to do that. Like, how would they... Yeah.
No.
Exactly. It's a laughable question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even when people are streaming, it's like, yes, there are hardcore fans who stream all day and like really devote time. But there's a lot of us who casually do it too. And wherever you're at is totally fine and awesome. Yeah. And so I can't imagine that like all of ARMY is streaming 24/7 and, you know. That's just ridiculous.
It's so frustrating to me that so many streams get filtered because when BTS releases a new album or song, I truthfully just want to listen to it on repeat, like over and over.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do when you love an artist. That's what you do when you love an album or a song. You hit repeat.
Yeah.
But companies
like Billboard and Spotify look out for intense streaming and you flag it.
It's like, yes, I want to watch this music video 10 times in a row. Okay. Please. Like I have to watch 7 at least.
Yeah. I have to watch it for each individual member and then I have to watch it at half speed. I mean, that's at least 8 times already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, because we love them.
We love
their music. We love to listen to their music on repeat, watch their music videos over and over because we just enjoy it.
Yeah. We're not manipulating the charts.
Yeah, it's
intentionally.
Just, it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about BTS's and ARMY's relationships in this article.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into some of the indirect attack on the relationships of BTS and ARMY. So just to quote the article, they said, still, HYBE appears to be doing its best to keep the BTS fandom close. In recent years, the company has promoted its platform Weverse, where stars and fans upload text and video updates, as well as other exclusive content, without the need of YouTube or Twitter. So they then go into the money that HYBE makes from the use of these sites, boiling it down to a purely money-driven concept and attempting to denigrate the authenticity behind the motivations of BTS on the platforms.
They just make it seem predatory, like in their wording. And it's so gross because I don't think any ARMY feels that way at all. They're just, I mean, they are looking at it from an outsider's perspective, but it's, I don't feel used, you know, I don't feel like I'm being manipulated by BTS to like be on these platforms and they make it seem like they're just doing it just to make a quick buck off of us. And it's no deeper than that.
And truthfully, BTS, a large portion of their success has been through social media. They've been very present on social media since the beginning. And we talked about in our Rise of BTS episode that like a huge component of their success has been like being able to reach the fans through social media and using that as like an advantage tool.
Even from the beginning, I mean, before they debuted, they were doing vlogs and posting them to YouTube.
From the very beginning,
they used to be on Fan Cafe a lot.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was all about connecting with the fans. And with BTS and ARMY, it's not just so one-sided, you know, because it's obvious that they're not just connecting because like their company is making them. Like when they are live, like when Jin goes live for an Eat Jin, it's because he wants to hang out with ARMY. When BTS leaves an American Awards show and instead of going to an after party, goes straight back to the hotel room to do a V Live and celebrate with ARMY, it's because they want to share it with us and because we matter to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And with BTS, the idea of this parasocial relationship and using media, you know, in social media to reach fans is not just BTS. This is a K-pop model. This is something that a lot of K-pop artists do. And I think it's just very foreign to how Western artists handle their fans or like communicate and their relationship with their fans. It's so different. And so, yeah, BTS have been doing this from the beginning, but it's because they want to share this experience with us because that is really how they feel. I wish someone would ask them about that. Like, I think they sometimes ask, like, what is ARMY to you? But just when they do those lives, like, really what it feels like for them. It feels like we're hanging out with them. I'm sure it's the same. They feel they're hanging out with us.
BTS cries at concerts. Just being able to be with ARMY and see ARMY. They've, in the past year and a half, cried to us during online concerts, being sad about not being with us. That is real emotion. That cannot be fabricated through an app. You
Jungkook has ARMY tattooed on his hand.
On his fucking knuckles.
Yeah.
Dude.
Like, this is, it's really hard to take the indirect attack for the relationship between ARMY and BTS because it's I think it's above their heads to an extent.
Because I really do feel like it's one of the most genuine like relationships between an artist and all of their fans. Because I feel like with a lot of Western artists, like Western pop stars, if we're gonna talk about like pop genres specifically, like they'll be like, oh, I love my fans, but what do you actually do for your fans? You know? What do you actually, how do you actually connect with them and like have meaningful interactions with them. When BTS are casually doing it on like a Tuesday morning, our time, it's like 4 a.m. and like Yoongi's like on, you know, on V Live chatting with us, you know,
yeah. It's like, it reminds me of when at the very beginning with BTS, Yoongi writing all those like handwritten letters and made all those gifts for armies for like a fan sign meet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't know who we are as individuals, but they know us as what ARMY is. Mm-hmm. And we're so identifiable mm-hmm. to the general public. So if you can have so many opinions and views of what we're like, imagine how close BTS feels to ARMY.
Yeah.
They know who we are, you know, not on an individual level, but, you know, it's just, it's tough to hear that in this article. I thought it really crossed the line.
It did cross the line because, you know, we all get so much joy from the interactions we get with BTS on social media. So mm-hmm. to try to like almost take that away from ARMY and make it seem disingenuine on BTS's side is like just really doing it for their nasty. Advantage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not cool. So the next big topic that the article covered was making English music. And although a lot of this article was really infuriating to read, like most of what we just covered.
Yeah.
When we got to this topic, my interest was piqued because this is something that you and I have talked about and wondered about, is BTS's real opinion on their English music. And, you know, we were really, really hesitant to talk, you know, negatively about their English music at all. And we love Butter. We love Butter.
And Dynamite.
And Dynamite.
And we've grown to Permission to Dance. But Permission to Dance really kind of made us question some of it.
We still felt like Permission, even though it grew on us as a song, we still felt like it wasn't authentically BTS. There was just something there that didn't seem like them, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to get this insight. So this is one of the first quotes related to them making music. It says, "But the members say they didn't all agree that English was a good idea. Both BTS and HYBE executives declined to elaborate. And Big Hit's music, Shin, says all discussions were amicable." He's quoted saying, "I think it's a testament to the band's strengths, the way they can come to a friendly resolution and be mindful of the company's needs," he says. Which I don't like that.
I don't like the ending of that. Be mindful of the company's needs. It says a lot about their strengths because they're taking into account the company's word.
Because they're making some sort of sacrifice or compromise in order to, for the betterment of the company.
Mm-hmm. Think about all of that money for the tour and just how that affected the company. Yep. So of course, especially during the pandemic, there was a lot of pressure to have that component of income. So for BTS, music is going to be the way they're going to reach that. So doing all English, I feel like, yeah, it could have been pushed by the company.
Yeah.
And the fact that they didn't elaborate any further.
Especially. And because when BTS came out with Dynamite, I mean, this was after years and years of RM saying in almost every single interview here in the West that they were not going to make English music, that they largely make Korean music and did not ever see themselves making English music. So when Dynamite happened, we were all like very surprised. We were happy. You know, we were taking it. We were in the middle of the pandemic.
So we
would take fucking whatever we could get. We loved it.
Like Dynamite.
But you know, our feelings about the English music started to shift with Permission to Dance because we started to worry, is this really coming from BTS and like what they really want? Because one of the things we love about them the most is how genuine they are and how their music is always their music.
It's a reflection of their inner selves.
Yeah. And what they're going through.
It always has been.
Yeah.
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 So RM, we find out in the article that he wasn't fond of the idea of doing an English song. Though he acknowledges it was a crucial way to keep buzz alive during the pandemic. He's quoted saying, "There was no alternative." And Jin admits that singing in English felt at first totally unnatural, saying he learned to mimic the guide's track's pronunciations by writing them down in Korean characters. He says, quote, "The English I learned in class was so different from the English in the song. I had to erase everything in my head first."
So this part, that second half of the quote about Jin's journey with it, you know, makes me wonder what their hesitation was with making English music. Was it that they felt like it wasn't them, that it wouldn't be able to express their inner selves? Or was it that it is just purely difficult to do, very, very difficult and challenging for the members who don't speak English?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
Yeah. And clearly for Jin here, he's saying that the pronunciation and just singing in English is so vastly different from singing in Korean.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything, the tempo, the pace, and, you know, and I think RM, and I would think like-minded members like RM, especially like Yoongi, the two people who really work on a lot of lyrics and production, could feel from like a musical, a performer and a philosophical standpoint that, you know, maybe that's not the direction that they want to go, because I feel like those two especially are very about being authentic and
of course
being themselves.
Yeah. And Yoongi, to hear that he has made submissions of his English lyrics and for them to be not considered or taken out mm-hmm. because he maybe just can't express himself in English to the extent that RM can.
Yeah.
Or that some other English, and you know, native English speakers writing. Songwriter.
Yeah, or even that he's saying something that they don't want him to say in this fluffy pop song or something like that.
I freaking hope not.
Like,
that would make me mad.
The thought makes me mad too, but I mean, we can't rule that out, you know. It's just it's a little bit sad knowing that they may feel this way about their English music, because we really enjoy, you know, the songs, and we want BTS to be happy with what they're doing. And so I just, if anyone at Big Hit knows or is listening, or, you know, we will support BTS in the music that they want to make, and ARMY will continue to do that as long as we can tell that it's authentically BTS and mm-hmm. what they want. Like, we just want BTS to be happy.
Yeah.
So if you're taking them and forcing them into a route that is not what they all want to do, then, you know, that's not something that you have always gone by. Yeah. Like, Big Hit has always been about making BTS happy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tough.
Yeah. I mean, Hitman Bang has always said that he wants BTS, how he started this group was he would hope that all of their songs would reflect their inner selves.
Yeah.
So I would hope that that would continue as BTS dive into more English tracks and singles.
Yeah. I like the point that Namjoon made here at the end of this English part, where he reiterated a point that he's made for a few years, saying that the group is maintaining this outlier position in the West, and it likes to keep its lyrics predominantly in Korean. Namjoon is quoted by saying, "I don't think we could ever be part of the mainstream in the U.S., and I don't want that either."
Hell yes.
"Our ultimate goal is to do a massive stadium tour there. That's it."
That's it.
That's fucking it. That's all we need.
That's what we want.
All they want is ARMY.
That's exactly.
That's all we want.
That's all ARMY
wants. We don't care about anything else.
We don't care about mainstream. We don't care about the most prestigious award you could ever win in music, whatever is quote on prestigious to you. Mm. We just want to see them.
That's it.
We just want a tour. That's what they want. I hope that Big Hit would see that BTS is going to know what's best for themselves.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. All right. Yeah.
So that article was just, it was a lot. A lot of it was
truthfully not what I expected from Billboard.
No. I mean,
because I have felt that Billboard has supported BTS in a lot of ways.
They've been hit or miss, but historically they've written very positive, well-written things about them.
They've had a lot of great
covers.
They've had a lot of great performances. They've accepted them a lot into the award shows themselves. So it was kind of disappointing, this article.
Yeah. The spin on it. Because
and it's selling for $175. But, you know, Big Hit is trying to get ARMY's money while Billboard is trying to get ARMY's money.
Right.
Like, okay.
That's insane. nobody's buying that magazine.
No, no one is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about something way, way, way more fun.
Let's talk about Butter the Remix, which is the Butter Remix with Megan Thee Stallion.
Hell yeah.
So this was really unexpected. This was maybe released a couple days, like an announcement of this release was a couple days before it actually got put out to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So our original reactions to the remix, I was kind of shocked to see that there was another Butter remix, but also not shocked at the same time, because with On, we had Sia, with Idol, we had
Nicki Minaj,
we had Halsey on Boy With Love. So it's not uncommon for BTS to release a remix with another artist. And I was so excited to hear that it was Megan Thee Stallion, because she's just so prominent here.
She's so awesome.
And she's just a great person. Yeah. She's a terrific artist. All of her music, I really love most, if not all of her music.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thrilled to hear that they had collaborated together.
Yes, me too. I was super excited. I was thinking, wow, for all of us that are Megan Thee Stallion fans, this is huge. And the fact mm-hmm. that she's collaborating with BTS is phenomenal. Like, I just love her female empowerment that she just exudes, and she really is about that hot girl shit.
She is.
I love the real hot girl shit being on a BTS track. Like, I just think it's just a winning combination before we even heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very, very excited to hear it when it released. There's a couple differences between this song and the original song, so we're going to talk about those. The first is the logo change. We got a really super cute logo where the heart of the Butter logo was turned into lips, pink lips mm-hmm. with like a pink background, which was just really cute.
It was so clever. I'm like, wow, the top part of that heart of the Butter, changing that into like the bow tie lips.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yes. So cute. Whoever Perfect. Came up with that, genius.
Yeah. And ARMY loved it so much that we all like immediately went and like to whatever background picture we had for a profile picture, we now have like the pink Butter background now too.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the whole Twitter feed just flooded with all these pink
All of it was pink. All of it was pink. And ARMY, this really goes to say a lot about the relationship of ARMY and BTS, that ARMY like basically bullied BTS into changing their Twitter profiles, because Megan changed hers.
Mm-hmm.
She like changed hers to that background, so we're like, okay, BTS, like,
come on,
you need to get rid of that black background, turn it to pink. And they did. Yeah,
love that. Yeah. Also, Megan had an intro line to the song where she said it's the hot girl coach and BTS. Love it. Oh my god, when she had
iconic.
To get that. Yeah, iconic. Fucking iconic. So I just want to talk about the hot girl coach. So Hot Girl Coach is a nickname that Megan Thee Stallion has appointed to herself. The origin behind this nickname comes from wanting to set a good example on how women can support other women. And she really goes against the idea of female chart sales and women battling each other on the charts, saying that, you know, all of that is competitive and catty. And she was actually, there was this whole like media construction of like her and Nicki Minaj beefing, which is just interesting that those are the two artists BTS has collabed with.
Mm-hmm.
But they really didn't. And when Megan spoke publicly about it, she said, "I love all the girls and I want everyone to know I don't believe in that," meaning I don't believe in beefing with other women.
Mm-hmm.
"I'm in my own lane, you're in yours, and you know I appreciate good music," saying Nicki has great music, other women have great music. She says, "all these women." So I just think this is a fucking iconic, incredible woman to have on a BTS track to really like not only promote this type of like lifestyle and female empowerment, but like to be the example for it too.
Yeah.
Like, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's great about this collaboration too is she just didn't have a verse. She was in the song, which historically we haven't always gotten that full immersion into the song like she is. Like, you hear her throughout other than just her verse in very cute and clever ways. So we're going to talk about some of her lines in the song. So you end up hearing her at the "get it, let it roll" on the very first chorus. So
yeah.
It's like, okay, even before her verse, you know, we're already getting her in it.
Love it.
So for her verse, we're not going to go through all the lyrics, but we're just going to say some shout outs here that really stuck out to us in the lyrics. So she ends up saying, "big boss, and I make a hater stay on their job, and I be on these girls' necks like the back of the bobs."
I love it.
I love that. The reference to bobs. I used to have a bob haircut style.
I know how that bitch rested on my neck.
Yes, I did. Yes, yes. So it was just like really clever to like reference to the back of a girl's neck to a very like common popular hairstyle where the neck is exposed with the bobs.
Yeah. And she's saying here, like, I'm on it, you know?
I'm on it.
I love that. And I really love this kind of like origin story that she gives us in just this one line. I remember writing flows in my room in college. And I just love, we were talking about BTS being an underdog earlier, Megan Thee Stallion being an underdog also, you know, coming out of the Houston music scene, really having to make a name for herself where there's a lot of musicians down there. I mean, everybody's competing for national recognition, of course. So for coming from writing in her college dorm to being where she's at today.
Yeah, needing global entry to her own shows like that she's rocking. Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also love the line, smooth like cocoa butter.
Yeah.
Just clever. And I'm like, wow, she really thought about her verse. Like she wrote this. She, you know, clearly had a lot to say. Like she didn't just remix on this. She didn't just feature in it. She like clearly cared about the collaboration.
Yeah. She thought, how can I take this line smooth like butter and make it applicable to me?
How can I have, you know, really great wordplay? Yeah.
I love it. I do think she was really thoughtful with her verse.
Very thoughtful.
Yeah, definitely. This wasn't just like she just hopped on the track casually. Like she's clearly excited to be on this collaboration. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something else that she did in the song that was totally unexpected that all of ARMY is freaking in love with is how she sings part of Yoongi's verse. And she harmonizes with him when they sing the line, got the right body and the right mind. I immediately am like, this couldn't have been any more of a perfect line for her to harmonize with because I instantly thought of her song, Body.
Yeah.
Because she has the right body. She's all about like how, you know, she's hot girl shit, right?
Yeah.
So it just makes sense that she featured on this line, that she did that too. So got the right body and the right mind. She also sings the call and response with Yoongi where she ends up saying, hate us, love us.
I love that.
I love that too. I mean, it just really filled that position of what ARMY would have been singing at the concerts with them.
It's just powerful as a woman to hear another woman who you admire say, got the right body and the right mind. Like, hell fucking yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, if that doesn't excite you to, like, hear a woman rapping that with Yoongi, like.
I know.
Who are you? That's why
it's iconic. Everyone's in love with it.
Yeah.
She also, after Namjoon's line where he says, got ARMY right behind us when we say so, she does this like giggle.
It's so cute.
It's perfect timing. Yeah. Like right after that line, it's very cute.
Mm-hmm. I love the giggle. Yeah.
And then at the very end where they're singing hotter, sweeter, cooler, butter, she sings hotter, which just hot girl shit, right?
Hot girl shit.
It's perfect that she has the hotter.
Yeah, I think
it was so thoughtful. I just didn't expect them to be this like detailed with when she sang. And I felt like she had a large part in it. Mm-hmm. I felt like the collaboration was thought out. It just wasn't thrown together.
Yeah, definitely. It was very thoughtful. It's clear that both parties really cared about this collaboration. And I think that they really executed well. Like, I was super happy with this remix.
Me too. I've been listening to it. I love it. I love the lips on the butter, the heart butter.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
I know. I love. Okay. So last thing to talk about is Over the Horizon by Suga of BTS. So recently, like this came out a couple weeks ago, mid-August, that Yoongi was going to be releasing his composition of Over the Horizon, which is a apparently iconic Samsung ringtone. I don't have a Samsung phone, but my mom doesn't. I bet it's her ringtone. I bet it's just the one that comes with it or something.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So this is a huge ringtone that's super popular. Every Samsung phone has it. And now Yoongi has been selected and has composed this almost like new version of it.
It's art reimagined.
It's so good.
Yeah. It's very familiar to him. And he was in an interview with Samsung and he talked a little bit more about his work and his composition of this piece. And he really goes into like how he's always wanted to write score music and original compositions like this outside of the, you know, the hip hop, K-pop artistry that he's been doing so far. Mm-hmm. He's like, I've love Hans Zimmer, who's done a lot of music scores. So it's just great to see that he got to do something like this. Like, clearly this is something he's dreamt of doing. And now he's getting to write these more, you know, compositions. Granted, yeah, it's not his own composition, but it's basically him redoing it in a way that he envisions it himself. Yeah. So it's just awesome. He's clearly excited about it. Like, I think it goes to show how talented of an artist he is. Like, he isn't just a producer or a songwriter. Like, he can write these more classical composition pieces as well.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It really shows his depth. And I mean, he was
just talented,
a pianist first, you know. And obviously, he's loved and has had a passion. His first CD was an Eminem CD. He's had a passion for rap, but he plays the piano. So, like, clearly he has some affinity to that classical music and, you know, that classical composition. So really wonderful that he got to flex that a little bit.
He's excited about it. He tweeted about it.
Yeah, he tweeted it with the link and a selfie.
Yeah.
I mean, to get a Yoongi selfie, you know that he cares about it.
Yeah.
So really, really cool. Okay, so I think that's all we had to cover today. It was a lot.
This was a lot for our spotisode. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we did a spotisode because it was becoming, I think it was like halfway through last week, we're like, okay, spotisode? Question mark? Like, I think this is what we're going to have to do.
There's a lot of content to cover. Yeah, but we really enjoyed sitting down and discussing all of this with you, Iconics. Please let us know what you think about these topics. We would love to hear from you. You know, tweet at us, follow us on Twitter, StandingBTSPod. And we would love to converse back and forth about these topics because these were big things that happened in the BTS fandom in these last couple of weeks. You can also follow us on Instagram at StandingBTSPodcast. And we would like to have a special thanks to our VIP Iconics before we sign off here, especially Eileen Ruchel, Michelle Park, Deja, Meg DeRuggio, Rachel Robin, and Allie. And we love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for
your support. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah. And if you would like to find us in any of those places, of course, you can find all of our links in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.